Our second reading comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. And I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Paul writes, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What does it mean to be blessed? Someone sneezes, and we instinctively say, "Bless you." Why? I can make myself sneeze on command, by the way. That's like a trick that I picked up. There are written records of this practice dating as far back as the year 77 AD. Some people believe that a person's soul could be ejected from their body when they sneezed. Some people believed that sneezing opened your body to the invasion of evil spirits, while others believed that sneezing was the body's effort to force out evil spirits. Some people believe that when you sneeze, your heart momentarily stops beating, and so they ask God to bless you so that your heart would keep beating and that you could live. National Geographic once reported that when a plague was breaking out in the year 590 AD, Pope Gregory I ordered that anyone who sneezed be blessed immediately, since sneezing was often the first sign that someone had contracted the plague. So saying "God bless you" or "bless you" when someone sneezes was motivated by this belief that something is wrong with you, and so I'm going to invoke God's favor upon you. Now that understanding, that way of thinking, while it might seem kind of primitive to us, it can actually help us understand what Jesus is talking about in the Beatitudes. What does it mean to be blessed? In our world today, what does that look like? Who do we say is blessed? People who are successful, who have everything they need. If you have enough money and a good job and a home and a family, I'm so blessed. If you have good health, you hear people say, "I've been blessed with good health." We often associate blessing with strength and success and security and prosperity. When everything is going right in your life, you are blessed. This word "blessed" that Jesus uses in the Beatitudes is the Greek word makarios. Makarios. It also gets translated as happy. So you'll see some translations of the Bible where Jesus says, "Happy are those who." So to be blessed means to be happy. What about people who are not happy? What about people who are sick and hurting and struggling and poor? People who do not have good health or jobs or homes or families? People who are not successful or strong or prosperous? Has God not blessed them? Would you see a man sleeping on the streets in Philadelphia, or a starving child in Africa, or parents who have just lost their child in a bombing in Syria? Would you look at them and say, blessed? See, that's the way that the world thinks about blessing, that the proof of God's blessing is that you're doing well, that you're happy, that you are strong and stable and secure. Jesus says something entirely different. He turns that notion completely around. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Not those who have a lot of spirit, who are rich in spirit, but those who are empty, those who are struggling with God's presence in their lives. Blessed are those who mourn, not those who are happy. Blessed are the meek, those who can't speak up for themselves, or they get pushed around or taken advantage of. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, not those who are full of righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, not the powerful who can impose their will on others. Blessed are those who are persecuted, who are hated and lied about, not those who have it easy and are well respected. Jesus' blessing seems to come from this place of, there is something wrong with you, and so I'm going to invoke God's favor upon you. A lot of times we read the Beatitudes like a list of things that we are supposed to strive to be. But who in the world wants to be poor in spirit? Who wants to mourn? Who wants to be pushed around and taken advantage of? Who wants to be persecuted and hated and lied about? If you have ever been there before, it does not feel blessed. This is not a list of things that we should aspire to be. Jesus is not saying, okay, if you do this, if you attain these things and aspire to be this, then you will be blessed by God. He's saying, if you are this, if this is the situation that you find yourself in, you may not be blessed by the world, but you are blessed by God. If you are poor in spirit, or mourning, or persecuted, or meek, then God's blessing is for you because you need it. The rest of the world might look upon you with scorn and push you away and alienate you and say that you are worthless, but God loves you and values you and favors you and blesses you. The blessing of God does not look like the blessing of the world. It turns our understanding of what it means to be blessed upside down. Jesus begins his ministry with this announcement that God is on the side of those who have no one else on their side. It's the announcement of God's unconditional love and blessing for the hurting and the broken and the oppressed and the persecuted, the people that no one else wants. God says, I want you. Blessed are those who have no reason why you should be blessed. The favor of God is pouring out upon all those who are not favored by the world. It's like Paul says to the Corinthians, God chose what is foolish in the world. God chose what is weak and low and despised in the world so that no one might boast in the presence of God. So that no one can say, look what I have done. Look at what I have achieved and accomplished. Look at the blessings that I have attained. If God only worked through the wise and the powerful and the mighty and the respected in the world, then it would be like, well, of course they can do that. Look at them. They've got everything they need. But when God chooses the weak and the low and the despised in the world and works through them and pours out God's blessing upon them, we look at that and say, there is no way that they could have done that on their own. That is the power of God at work in them. They can't boast in their own ability. They can only boast in the Lord. They can only say, look what God has done in my life. Now, the Christians in Corinth had plenty to boast about. Corinth was an important city. It was often referred to as the crossroads of the Mediterranean world. It was a major Roman colony. It was a center of trade for the whole Mediterranean region. And it became the center of Christianity in Greece. Paul pours out praise upon the Corinthians at the beginning of this letter. He's saying that they are eloquent and they're knowledgeable. They are not lacking in any spiritual gift. There are plenty of reasons why others would look at them and say, wow, those Christians in Corinth, they are blessed. But like we saw last week, Paul tells them that they've lost their center. They've lost their focus. They've started boasting in their own wisdom and eloquence and strength and ability and their own leaders, and they've started viewing themselves or others as the source of their blessing. They've lost sight of Christ and the cross. So that's what Paul does. He points them back to Christ and the cross as the source of their wisdom and their strength and their blessing. And that doesn't make sense. A crucified Savior does not make sense. Crucifixion was the opposite of power. It was a humiliating death. It was a death that was reserved for slaves, for criminals, and for social outcasts. Only the powerless died on the cross. Christ empties himself out and places himself alongside the outcasts and the weak and the powerless and the poor and the suffering. So what does all of this mean for us? I think two things. I think first is that if this is where you find yourself, weak, powerless, suffering, spiritually empty, mourning, pushed around, taken advantage of, hated, talked about, lied about, desperate for justice. If this is where you find yourself, then the good news of Jesus Christ is that God is with you. God is on your side. God's blessing and favor and love are for you, not because everything is going right in your life and you deserve it, but because something is wrong and you need it. The second way that this speaks to us is that if that is where Christ stands, with the weak and the powerless and the persecuted and the suffering, if Christ blesses the poor and the hurting and the outcast, and we are called to follow Christ, to center our lives on Christ, to be like Christ, then we are called to stand with the poor and the powerless and the outcast and the oppressed. We are called to bless the weak and the suffering. And the question that we have to ask is, are we? As individuals, as a church, as a nation, are we standing where Christ stands? Blessing those whom Christ blesses. Because if we are not standing where Christ stands, then we're standing in the wrong place. Are we building ourselves up and boasting in our blessings? Or are we emptying ourselves out like Christ and boasting only in the Lord and what God is able to do in us and through us? Where in the Beatitudes do you find yourself? Are you in a place that needs to receive Christ's blessing? Or are you in a place where you can be Christ's blessing to those who need to receive it? Either way, whether you need it, whether you give it, you are blessed because you are standing with Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the source of all goodness and blessing in our life. Show us what it means to trust in your blessing, to go out from here and to live our day-to-day lives in a way that blesses others the way that you have blessed us. Show us those who are hurting and suffering and struggling, and how we can reach out to them to share your love and blessing. Meet us where we are, when we are hurting and struggling and suffering. Meet us with your blessing. May we be a people who live by your blessing, not the way the world sees it, but the way that it has been shown to us in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to empty ourselves out. And in that place of emptiness, to find your blessing in Christ. Amen.